Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Hey, Mikey A.
Hey.
How you feeling?
That's how
that
I'm feeling.
Good, huh?
That's how I'm feeling.
We all are. We're 1-0, Mike. I mean,
yeah, yay.
Your boy Zach Wilson's our quarterback again. Tom Brady doesn't want to play football anymore.
Would you?
That, according to Diana Rossini, I would on this team because this team is championship good. I'm surprised Brady does not want to come back and play for this team, only because the defense of the running game is so good. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, Garrett Wilson is that good, too. That was probably the second or third best catch I've ever seen behind Odell Beckham.
Yeah. That was a great catch.
That was an amazing catch.
That had nothing to do with Zach Wilson and everything to do with Garrett Wilson.
It was one of the worst throws I think I've ever seen.
But here's the good news. At least we're not on the road against a good defense this week. I mean, Jets taking on the Cowboys. Oh, my God.
Playing 11 guys in the box.
I got to tell you, who was happier? Was there anyone happier than Brian Daboll, Daniel Jones, and my boy Joe Shane about what took place? Because it got the Giants off the headlines, okay? And put the Jets, like, on the back page, front page of every newspaper in New York. Was there anyone happier than those guys? Maybe the guy in Green Bay, Gutekis?
No, he's got to be miserable.
All right, because he doesn't get a first round pick. Right?
He just lost a first round pick.
No, but this is interesting. I think he would rather have the second round pick and Aaron be out for the year than have the first round pick if Aaron played 65% of the snaps. I do.
Oh, this is bad. Man. I came up with a list. Top five people this was the worst for. This injury.
Mikey, hey, hold on. I want to hear the list. I want to hear the list. I desperately want to hear this list. But you and I, we're in a bad place right now. Like most Jet fans, we're in a very, very bad place right now. And so what we needed to do on this show, we needed to laugh. And so we recruited not one, but two comedians to make both of us laugh, okay? They are the Southern comedy duo. It is Trey Crowder. It is Corey Ryan Forrester. They wrote a travel book. But more importantly, they're here to soothe us, to make me and Mikey A laugh during a lousy time in our lives. So I am a fan of these guys. I am told they are fans of our show, so they're excited to be on with us. We're excited to have them on. We'll have them on here in just a minute because Mikey A and I need to smile. We need to laugh. We haven't smiled since Gibson returned the touchdown to beat the Buffalo Bills. I haven't smiled since. But you have a top five list. So, again, tell me what this top five list is.
This is the top five people that the Aaron Rodgers injury sucks for the most.
Okay, top five people the Aaron Rodgers injury sucks for the most.
Right, I took me and you out of it.
Okay.
I took me and you out of it. Outside
Greeny, is Greeny on this list?
No, because I took the fans out of it because, of course, that sucks for us. Outside looking in, Alan Lazard, because at least he got a lot of money.
OLI, Alan Lazard. Yeah. Okay, right.
Number five, Dalvin Cook. I mean, you come here for one reason. It's to play with Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't last four plays.
Not only that, Breece Hall is a better running back. I mean,
well, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Love you, Dalvin. Stay. Don't leave us, Dalvin. Okay.
No, we need you. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Number four I have is as the Packers because you just lost a first round pick.
Right.
And it has so you gave Aaron Rodgers away for almost nothing.
Okay.
Number three, Randall Cobb. You know, his career is just gone.
Right.
It's just like Zach Wilson will never get Randall Cobb the ball.
I remember when Aaron went down to the turf, I was thinking to myself, at least we still have Randall Cobb. And Nathaniel Hackett. He's got to be on this list.
Number two, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Garrett Wilson caught 440 yards from Zach Wilson in 9 games last year.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson has no idea how to throw the ball to Garrett Wilson.
I know. Mikey, I know. But listen, you'd like to think that Zach Wilson has spent an entire preseason, an entire training camp around Aaron Rodgers, that he's learned something. I mean,
Did you see that? Did you see that in the game? Because I didn't.
I saw us win. I saw a guy Zach was put in an impossible spot. And I'm not saying he played great, but he did enough for the team to win. He made a couple of plays. That's what we needed. He made a couple of plays, Mike. Give him that, all right? Mm-hmm. It was a tough spot for him, all right? Let's see how he looks against Dallas.
I'll give him nothing. Okay. I'll give him nothing, and he'll like it. I'm still too upset. Number one, NFL schedule makers. We have seven primetime games of Zach Wilson coming this year.
When's the next one?
Dallas, I think it's the Chiefs. Chiefs.
At week home, right?
Week four, I think it's the Chiefs.
I spent so much money getting tickets to that game. Oh my God. Now they're worth nothing.
Now we get the Raiders Jets primetime.
And the Chiefs could be 0-3 headed into that game. They got Jacksonville this week on the road. When is that game? I got to sell those tickets. I'm not even joking.
You're going to take a loss.
A monster loss. Yes. The Jets play the Cowboys this weekend. Hold on. I'm pulling up the Jets schedule. Oh, boy. Then they're home with the Patriots. And then they're home with Kansas City. Right. It's in a couple of weeks. Right. I was going to that game. It was a Sunday night game. Oh, my God. NBC is begging for the flex to start right now. Can we flex that one out? What would they replace it with?
Doesn't matter.
Anything.
Anything.
Wait, I'm going.
The dog show.
Hosted by our buddy John O'Hurley. I mean,
yes, sir.
NBC could have had Bills Dolphins that week. Bills Dolphins in Buffalo. They have the Jets to the Chiefs. Let's see what else they could have had. Let's see. I got to tell you, not much more. I mean,
Bills Dolphins is good enough.
Bills Dolphins is a game they could have had. Yeah, they could have had that game. Now they're saddled with Zach Wilson.
3 yards and a cloud of dust. Next.
At least Patrick Mahomes will be there.
Maybe.
We're doomed. We'll be 2-1, Mike. We'll beat the Patriots at home.
Why? Why?
I trust Zach Wilson. I did.
That's a you problem.
Do you want him to get a quarterback or no?
Yes. Who? And I know which one I want. I want Jameis.
You want Jameis Winston?
I want Jameis Winston.
You would take Jameis Winston over Matt Ryan?
I think Matt Ryan is retired. I think he's okay. Really retired.
Kaepernick?
Nope.
Cam?
Nope. If you're not going to go get a game manager like a Cooper Rush or a Colt McCoy or a guy like that, then I would want Jameis Winston, because if nothing else, he can throw the ball. He can throw the ball. He can make every throw. And the defense is good enough that you can hope you can just play him in some sort of system. By the way, you can read all about this on A to Z Sports/New York Jets.
That was well done by you. It's going to be costly for the Jets if they want Jameis, because the Saints have a very valuable commodity right now in the NFL, which is they have a legitimate backup quarterback. They have a guy that can go out there and win you a couple of games, you know?
Yeah, but they love Taysom Hill. And
that's true.
They
Would you take Taysom Hill?
No. No. But listen, the way the Saints benched him last year for Andy Dalton, and then like it didn't sit right with Jameis. He was very upset. I can imagine the Saints being like, all right, we'll do right by you. Here's a chance to go play.
All right.
I could see them doing that.
How about Andy Dalton?
I don't think he's going to. I think they like him as the mentor to the rookie. I don't think
there are certain guys where it doesn't make sense for the Jets. Like, I'd rather them not go get Gardner Minshew. I'd rather them not get Andy Dalton, as much as I love Andy Dalton. I'd just rather see if Zach Wilson has figured something out, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him get Jameis Winston. It's a team that was built to win right now. I think Jameis gives them the best opportunity to win right now, or at least get to the playoffs right now. And what an opportunity for Jameis Winston. All these guys came here to play with Aaron Rodgers. So he's got a loaded roster. Okay. He's got a loaded roster, a great defense, a good running game. Jameis doesn't have to go out and win games by himself. He can hand the ball to Breece, hand it to Dalvin, make a couple of big throws down the field, and boom, Jameis Winston has resurrected his entire career. So I am with you. I think that's the guy, Mikey. Eh?
Look
at us.
Yeah.
Figuring things out. I need to laugh.
Yeah.
Let's get Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester, Southern comedy duo. They wrote a travel book, huh? They're fun guys. Let's talk to them. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yeah, Dude, thank y'all for having us. I'm a huge fan of the show. I got so many thoughts. I'm pumped. Appreciate y'all having us.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? God bless football. I'm so glad it's back, number one. And I have a couple. Yeah, Mikey A, I see you there, buddy. Man, no, I love it. Y'all have actually made me a low-key Heat fan. Oh, and boy. Also, like, I'm kind of into soccer, even though we were taught at my Southern Baptist church that that was communism. But, like, I'm sort of in now, you know, just because of y'all. So...
I mean, we're rolling. Right. Keep going. I mean, you have started. You have taken control of it. I am happy about that. So keep going. Keep showering us with praise, please. Well,
yes. First off, and I would like to say, God bless. Golf does need to be a thing. I heard y'all talking about that. I'm in. I'm not pitching for a job, but I think that golf needs to be a little less stuffy, and no one makes things less stuffy than Stugotz. We need, and I need to be a correspondent. We need two people that barely know what they're talking about to cover this prestigious sport. Correct?
Andrew Millard,
we already have that. Yes. It's me and Billy.
No, I think he was talking about me and him.
Yeah, and also I would like to tell Trey, because I don't know that he listens to the show as much as I do. When we got the email that was like, yo, Stugotz is going to have to push it, he's stuck in traffic, I'm like, that's cute that they think I don't listen to the show. He forgot his cigarettes. You know what I mean? Like, this man was not in traffic. He had a bad night. He forgot his cigarettes. We're fine coming at 3:30, but I'm glad to be here, buddy.
Right. Well, thank you. There is some truth in that, I will tell you. Trey, you're very quiet over there. What's going on?
I'm just letting him do his thing, buddy. He's just so excited to be here. I'm excited to be here, too. Thanks for having me. But, yeah, I figured I'd just let him roll, like you said.
Have you ever heard of God Bless Football before he mentioned it?
Maybe from him. I know, look, dude, I know you from like way back in the day, like on ESPN show from like forever ago, you know. So, I mean, I'm familiar. I'm just not a daily acolyte like he is, or, you know, however so often he gets on here. But I'm glad to be here.
I'm excited to have you guys both. I do apologize for being an hour late.
That's all right.
Dude, it's fine, man. You did something that I thought was impossible. If you'd have told me when I was a kid that Chris Sims would be my favorite football analyst, I would have told you you were a moron. I was like, no, let me hear Major Applewhite talk, for the love of God. But no, Sims is my favorite. You know what I mean? I love his tier system. It's great.
Billy, make sure you have that for Chris Sims next time he's on, because he doesn't dislike you enough. I mean, it's unbelievable. Trey Crowder is with us. Corey Forrester is with us. They have a travel guide, which I find pretty fascinating that you guys came up with a travel guide, but you do a lot of traveling. So why'd you guys decide to do this?
You mostly covered it just then. We do a lot of traveling, you know, so we thought, why not? We're comedians. We've been all around the country multiple times over doing stand-up shows and whatnot. And the opportunity to write a book came up, and we thought, you know, why not give it a go? Because also we're, you know, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but we happen to be from the South. I know it's hard for people to tell sometimes, but we are. And so we also noticed, like, you know, a lot of the stereotypes and perceptions of like Southerners, but also of other regions for the South, and how it goes back, what everybody in different parts of this country thinks of the other parts of the country, and the reality as we've experienced, and trying to break all that down in a funny way, basically. Or that's sort of the idea. Plus, they let us go to England and Scotland for the first time, which is fun for two rednecks.
Plus money, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, money
also,
was a
there's
big...
money. Money was cool, too. Yeah.
Money was a big factor.
I mean, it started with money, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to establish your redneck Southern credentials here, your bona fides, okay? So, so Trey, if you wouldn't mind, tell the audience where you're from, okay? Like, where you're from, your upbringing, all that. Because I was reading about you guys, and I find it pretty fascinating.
I'm from a town called Salina, Tennessee. It's equidistant between Nashville, Knoxville, Lexington, Kentucky, and Chattanooga. So it's the literal middle of nowhere. We have no traffic lights, no McDonald's, no Walmarts, nothing like that. The legend goes that they tried to install some traffic lights on the square in the early 80s, but that didn't take because people kept shooting them out in the middle of the night, you know, so they finally just gave up on it. So very, very small, very redneck, very middle of nowhere, but still kind of different from Corey's hometown, which is
Yeah, Chickamauga, Georgia is where I'm from, which is known for the Battle of Chickamauga, which is the bloodiest two-day battle in the entire Civil War. Not three-day, not one-day, but two-day. And that is the thing that people around here are most proud of. And we have really good Civil War reenactments, like probably the best reenactments in the world at Sugatz. If you're ever down this way, if Dead & Company ever comes to Chattanooga, just holler at me so you can see the greatest. I mean, our Civil War reenactors truly put the meth in method acting. It is unlike anything you've ever seen. I highly suggest anyone check it out.
Are you suggesting the only thing that will get me to Chattanooga is a Dead & Company show?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, you know, and I'd like to meet Bill Walton as well. So that'd be sweet. If you're down there, you know, I got a house you can stay in. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, but I'd burn a heater with you, buddy.
Mm. Okay. Oh, really? You'll start again for me, huh? That's commitment.
So you're still on the cigarettes, huh? Like I've noticed something lately. Like my genuine reaction to that, no faking, is like whenever I see somebody that's still smoking cigarettes, I'm like, good for you, man. That's good. I admire that. You're sticking in there, because you know I started smoking at 16, like everybody in the redneck town, and then I've been on the vaping the robot wieners for the past few years now. And so I respect people that are still hanging in there. So,
right. Despite all the warnings is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, you got to be a quitter like the rest of us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, quitting's for losers. I mean,
right. Exactly.
Something like that. Well, how'd you guys connect? How'd you guys get together?
Trey, you want, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. So I started doing stand up about 20 years ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Trey started a couple years later in Knoxville, Tennessee. And like the South, like, you know, in New York, it's like you got a comedy club here, comedy club here, comedy club here. But in the South, your closest two comedy clubs are going to be 2 hours apart. So like I would go do open mics at his club. He would go do open mics at my club. And we saw each other. And it was the first time I'd ever seen anyone try, like kind of doing a similar thing, which I was doing, which was like not doing stereotypical, you know, here's your sign. Not that there's anything wrong with Bill Engvall. He's great. But trying to talk about more, you know, maybe progressive ideas or whatever, but not dropping our accent, like still sounding like idiots while trying not to be idiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, buddy. Hell yeah. I thought you were gonna come in with something.
No, he pretty much covered it. Yeah, we just felt like we had both noticed that, like, basically if you ever heard somebody, a comedian in particular, with this accent, it was always the same kind of thing, and we were trying to do a different kind of thing at the same time, and we kind of bonded over that. But like you said, I mean, we love all those dudes, you know. I mean, I grew up on Foxworthy and the Blue Collar Tour and all that. Those guys are great.
Oh yeah, Foxworthy's on the Mount Rushmore, man, for sure.
Yeah.
Really, of comedians, of stand-up?
For us, like if you're from the South, for sure, I think. Yeah.
He was the first dude that, like, when I was a kid, I would stay up with my dad would always let me stay up past my bedtime if there was a comedian on Johnny Carson or Leno, you know, because like that, he knew I was interested in it. But like every time they announced a comedian, it was like from Los Angeles or from New York. So like, I thought that's where comedians were made and I couldn't be one. And then to hear this dude who looked just like my uncle and sounded just like me, you know, I was like, oh my God, we could do this. And that was Jeff Foxworthy. So you can't, you know, I can never take away that influence.
I got to ask him, Stu, Mount Rushmore of comedians. If Foxworthy's on it, I need the other three.
I was headed to the same place, Mikey. Good job.
Trey, you want to go first?
Oh, I think it'll be a little different for every comedian. And I think for me off the top, it's definitely Chris Rock was always my personal favorite. So you know, Chris Rock and Jeff Foxworthy is seemingly an odd pairing, but there you have it. And then I think I don't know how you don't say Richard Pryor and George Carlin, you know, so that's I'm already at four. But Mount
Carlin
Rushmore,
was crazy. Carlin got better with age. It's crazy.
Hell yeah. Right?
Yeah. He was like people in the comedy world. People were all over, you know, a few years ago, Louis C.K. was the guy who's like made it a thing where you're supposed to do a brand new hour every year. Like that became like the thing in the comedy world. And then like it sort of faded out because people realized like, oh, that's really hard to do. But Carlin was doing that like 20 years ago, just like unheralded. He was just doing that just because he was the only guy doing that. But he was doing that for like ever, you know, before the rest of us caught up. So, I mean, yeah, he was something else.
Yeah, for me, it's probably, I mean, I have to put Foxworthy, like, again, this is not who I think actually are the greatest. They're just my personal greatest. Like, I've got to put Foxworthy on there. For me, I've got to put Seinfeld on there. just because, like, I just always have felt like when you hear the phrase stand up comedy, a silhouette of Jerry Seinfeld is like the first thing. Like, he's just a prototypical dude. And then, like, I probably want to go, yeah, Carlin and Pryor. Like, you can't, I mean, Carlin was like the dude that really got me into the writing of it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of, you know, a lot of dudes are just like Ron White, super funny. It's on his delivery. Carlin was like, every single joke Carlin had was 9 paragraphs long. So he really showed me like the value of a choice of words and like why that one works and why that one wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No Eddie Murphy, huh?
I love Eddie Murphy. I mean, that's the problem with the Mount Rushmore is that you got to pick four. And right.
I mean, like, you guys brought up the Mount Rushmore. Don't lash out at me. Yeah, I mean,
Eddie Murphy, OLI for sure.
Oh, he does. He listens. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
but I mean, yeah, dude, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr. I mean, there's so many other people, you know, lately, John Mulaney, all kind of, I mean, you know, but like I said, you got to pick four.
Round here and over yonder, a front porch travel guide, Trey Crowder and Corey Forrester are with us here. Do you guys like traveling? I'll start with you, Corey. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm privileged. You know, I listened to your, you know, your podcast with Neil last week when y'all were talking, Neil Everett, when y'all were talking about like you should do this show with a ski mask on because you're robbing money all the time. And like, yes. I identified with that so much because like, dude, when this tour first lit up, like, you know, I'd been doing comedy for 20 years, but for the first 12, it was at VFWs, you know what I mean? Yeah. Having to have my grandmother drive me because I got a DUI when I was 16. But like when we first popped off and we were able to go to all these cities, like it was amazing. And now I will tell you this, when you go to a city for the seventh time, it's work. You know what I mean? Like, but yes, like when you consider the lilies of the field, like I do love traveling, being from where we're from. And like, you know, Southern has their own culture, but we're not really, we don't really see a lot of what the rest of the world has got going on all the time. So like I moved to New York and I was like, I'm healed, baby Jesus. Yes. But yeah, man, love traveling. But I couldn't travel without that dude. I'd be miserable without him.
Yeah. I mean, I've been, traveling alone lately, and it does have a different sort of feel to it. But it's like you said, I mean, being from a tiny town, nobody ever goes anywhere. My first ever trip outside of Tennessee was to Daytona Beach, Florida, the summer after I graduated high school, just really trashing it up, you know, and we were very excited to do it. And so people, nobody ever goes anywhere. So like you said, it's, you know, thrilling and I'm grateful and all that, but it is also exhausting. And there's been a lot of art, like trap musicians and stuff. Like I know Sturgill Simpson said it, but I don't think he was the first. I've heard a lot of people say it. They're like, you know, if you buy a ticket to come see a show, you're getting the show for free. The money is for everything else, the travel and the logistics and all that. And I mean, you know, I do definitely agree with that. Like last week I did, you know, 3 days I was in Des Moines, Omaha and Kansas City, you know what I'm saying, which was great. I had a great time, but it's not like the south of France or whatever, you know what I mean, when it comes to traveling. It's like, you know, so it just depends.
Which would you hate? Rank those. Which do you hate the most to least?
Why? Wait. Yeah. I don't hate any of them.
Yeah, no, of course.
I've got love for
four cities you both hate.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
being from, we're not popular enough to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we have to pretend every city is our favorite.
Also, being from a place that's much maligned all the time, I've got like a soft spot for in my heart for places that other people like to like crap on. You know what I mean? Like the first time I ever went to Cleveland, I was like, this is lovely. You know what I mean? It was the year they were currently going 0-16, right? I mean, they're like 0-12 already at this point. One of the first things I see is like a chubby girl on crutches and a brown shirt, you know what I mean, on like a Thursday. And I was like, that's magical. That's great. You know, they're still like, they're this deep in a winless season and they're still like, you know, still crazy about the Browns or whatever. And so, yeah, you know, dude, compared to my hometown, any American city is Shangri-La. So, like, I don't think any of them are all that bad. You know what I mean?
Well,
I traveled to all 50 states, and as a New Yorker, every time I could always tell where I was, because when I told somebody who lived there I was from New York, if I was in the Midwest, they would look at me like they were disgusting. Mm-hmm. If I was in the South, they kind of give you like a, oh, that's nice, with a fake smile on. What kind of reactions do you guys get when you do the I'm Southern thing in different parts of the country?
Well, usually they meet. All we got to do is say, hey, how you doing? Or can I get a beer or whatever? And then they just know, you know, and they'll ask, be like, you from the South? And then they're,
you can light your tiki torch in the back, sir.
Yeah, right. If they're, it depends what kind of person they are, right, Corey? Like sometimes what happens right after that is they're like, oh, I got a great joke for you, you know, and then it ends up being super racist or whatever. Like yeah. They hear our accent and they're like, oh, they're going to love this. You know what I mean? And we have to sort of back off of that. Sometimes it's people that got family from the South or whatever, so they're excited. And then there's people who are, you know, seem to be at best confused or at worst, you know, alarmed.
Yeah, they wonder how we got to their town, because apparently they don't know that people in the South know how to book and board a plane. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're real confused. Like, how'd you get here? I don't know. So I swam.
Well, first I had to bribe a riverboat captain.
Corey, I have a feeling you're going to give us an answer here. I want the city you hate the most, okay?
That's not going to give us an answer.
Dude, come on.
Dude, the city that I hate the most. Okay, man, I will. I'll say this. And I would love a chance for them to redeem themselves, but like any city in Connecticut, I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's not that I'm such a redneck that I'm like, ooh, boo the North, get me garlic. You know what? It's not like that, because I love New York. I lived in New York. It's just like Connecticut has all the worst aspects of being from the North. They're uptight. They're stuck up. They look down on me. But none of the positive things. Like, they've got borderline racist jokes that are still kind of funny, like New York, you know what I mean? But like, they don't, I mean, I guess the pizza's okay, but they're just very vanilla and boring. And I don't get Connecticut. I don't see why anyone from Connecticut would be like, I'm proud to be from Connecticut.
I live in Connecticut. I've lived here for the last 15 years. And you're absolutely right about everything you just said.
I was just in Connecticut 7 days ago. Last Tuesday night, I was in Hartford doing a comedy show. And like, I ripped on them for like 10 minutes or whatever. And they loved it. So, you know, I'll give them that. Like, just like he just did. You know what I mean? That was very much the response. Except they were pretty proud of the pizza. And I got to say, it's pretty solid. I feel like it's not everybody thinks New York, Chicago or whatever. But Connecticut's got some good pizza.
Can I ask you guys a question? So you have a new travel book that's out. You've traveled the country doing comedy. Can you guys explain something to me? Because this is a place that I've run into a handful of times when I've been driving up the East Coast. Can you explain to people, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, can you explain to people what south of the border is between North and South Carolina?
Like, what's the difference in North and South Carolina?
No, have you ever stopped in south of the border?
It's on 95.
Like a Mexican themed, like very stereotypical.
It's like a side of the highway. Like, I'm very usually using the term amusement park, right? It's like a, like something from like a vacation movie,
like Casa Bonita,
like a Chevy Chase vacation movie, but it's Mexican.
Corey, please Google this, because it's between North and South Carolina. It's called South of the Border, and it is like exactly, it's like a Mexican themed, like very on the line, I would say, at best situation. And it's like this little town that's just there. Yeah. Okay. Great.
These pictures are great. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. That is the most racist Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade float of a mascot that they have. Yeah, this is something else. No, I've never heard of that. That's crazy.
It's a really strange place, and I was wondering if you guys had been there. I guess not.
No, I've never been there. No, I was vaguely aware of it, and obviously he just now educated him, but... Did you stop? Did you check it out?
I had to stop and go to the restroom. Yeah. And the time that I did, it was like a ghost town. There was no one at any of these places. They're like, I'm just going to keep it moving and stop like 2 miles down the road, please.
Well, I'm glad that you brought it up, because we have been like listing out all these things we need to hit when the book ultimately sells a million copies and we get a sequel. Cause like we couldn't hit it all. Like, you know, they gave us a word count limit, but like, dude, this is like number one place I'm going when we start the rewrite for number two.
So when you do number one, how many of the places did you already visit? And you're like, we don't need to go back there again. And how many places are like, I just want to go to this place. So let's write a travel book so I can go on vacation here.
There was definitely, you know, we had been to almost every, I think there's only one town that I went specifically for the book, but we'd been like everywhere, you know, when we're trying to cover like the most popular parts of the Southeast and the Pacific Northwest and the North. But like, obviously we'd never been to the UK. That was specifically like, hey, that was part of our pitch. And like, I can't believe it worked. I'm not kidding. Like we sold them on like travel book. And I had told Trey, I was like, one of my dreams my whole life, I've always wanted to go to the UK. Okay, but I've never wanted to pay for it myself. And that was like part of the goal. I was like, I'm an entertainer. I will figure it out. And so we just like slid that into our pitch and they were like, right on. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll send you to the UK. And we're like, what the hell? So yeah, that was one of them.
I think I know I went back to upstate New York, which I'd already been to upstate New York, but I wanted to go back because I hadn't been in a while when it was time to write about that. Corey went to Helen, Georgia, but the main part that we went to, like, because of the book was England and Scotland, like you said, which was pretty cool.
What's the city you guys thought was going to be dreadful, but it turned out to be pretty cool?
Let me see. You know what? I had a great time in Buffalo.
I like Buffalo a lot. Yeah.
How? Well, I was really drunk and I like wings. And also, like, we just love sports towns. Like, we're such big sports fans. So if there's a town and their entire identity is, especially a sports town where they're famous for losing, right? It's much like one of the reasons I love you guys is because you're huge Jets fans, right? Uh-huh. You've got that misery in you. As a Titans fan, we really like sort of understand it. We've been near the mountaintop, but never got there. And by the way, I'm glad that I just brought up the Titans as a segue because me and Trey are both Titans fans. And I would like to use this platform on the show because this is the only time a bunch of sports fans will ever be listening to me. From Titans fans, we would like to send out our sincerest apologies to DeAndre Hopkins for ruining his career, possibly shattering his knee bone. It's not going to work out for you, buddy. I don't know why you'd think it was. You're not going to break the cycle, but we're rooting for you.
Yeah, it's also what's fun about being a Titans fan is anytime there's any kind of sweepstakes like that, like DeAndre Hopkins, you might go here, whatever. Whenever it's the Titans, you can just feel everyone else other than Titans fans go like, oh, man, that's a bummer. I didn't want him to go there. Everybody, it's like, dude, you know, like the people are all they'll take the Jags over us all day. And I don't know why. To answer your question, it's not a city, but I didn't know what to expect from Maine. And we went to Maine in like the summertime. Gross. We went out on them little islands and stuff and had a lobster roll and all that. And I was like, this is idyllic and incredible. I was expecting some more Stephen King type stuff or something. Right. I don't know. But I thought Maine was lovely. Although, weird fun fact, we saw more Confederate flags driving through the state of Maine than any other northern state. Not southern state. Yeah. Yeah. Last time I was in New Hampshire, I drove past the Confederate flag on my way to the show, too. So
that is shocking, actually.
They got them up there. Yeah.
Appropriating racism. That's quite a move, you know. Hmm.
You get out of the sticks, dude. They start popping up.
Trey, don't you want the Titans to win the Super Bowl just to see if Mike Vrabel will cut off his penis?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I believe he'll do it. He's a true believer, dude. He's ride or die, I think.
You think he's going to do that, huh?
Well, dude. It's so outside the realm of possibility in my mind that could ever happen anyway. Dude, you know, like, we got to let's win the Super Bowl first, then we'll worry about that.
If he can win the Super Bowl, I'll bite it off for him on TV.
That's very nice of you.
I mean,
you're not going to offer to cut yours off. You'll just bite his off, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You'll see some different play calling in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl, I guarantee you.
Corey, the city or town that has the best food, the best food.
Man, I'm a huge, you might not. I want to say like Seattle,
I mean,
Seattle, New Orleans. Okay. New Orleans and Seattle are like, man, New Orleans,
it's
is
New
like
Orleans, how, Louisiana. I think,
I know, but
down.
That's also like, if, if you ask me who's the greatest basketball player of all time, I'm like, you mean besides Jordan? Because that's exactly. not fair. Yep. But, dude, I'm a huge seafood mark, you know, and so I just find Seattle. Like, I think Seattle has better chowder than Boston. I don't want anybody to come at me. But, like, if I'm really trying to get up on some oysters and all that, like, it's Seattle's hard to beat. But, yeah, dude, New Orleans, I mean, also you get the seafood and it's just slathered in all that seasoning. And, yeah, I mean, I'll go with New Orleans.
Trey, yeah. You're going New Orleans, right?
Oh, for sure. I don't even need to think about it. And if it's too like cliched of an answer, I mean, Seattle is. San Francisco is super fancy and snooty, so they got. If you want any kind of fancy stuff, you could definitely get it there. You know, they got a big restaurant scene.
Go ahead.
Everyone at once.
Yeah, everyone. at once. Who's going?
Mike, you can go.
I was going to say, speaking of food, I'm looking at this pitch for your book, and they said you had overpriced rabbit in San Francisco.
Yeah, because Corey about? Did. Yeah,
it wasn't in San Francisco. It was in Napa. It was at the French Laundry, which is like, duh, of course it was overpriced. I was at a 3-Michelin-star restaurant. But I also mentioned in there, in the book, that it was the best rabbit I've ever had. And with my accent, you can understand I've had quite a lot of rabbit. You know, but I was just very shocked to be at a Michelin star restaurant and get something that I used to have when my cousin, you know, got drunk and accidentally shot something. Like, I was getting the same dish. But, like, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's wild that, like, the two dudes like the two people that have, like, served you rabbit in your life are
Thomas
Keller and Uncle Bubbles. You know what I mean? Like, that's the two ends of the rabbit serving spectrum.
Yeah.
What's the difference between German Mardi Gras and regular New Orleans Mardi Gras?
Oh, German Mardi Gras.
Efficiency.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, dude. In Helen, where they've got the German Mardi Gras, all I can tell you is, number one, a huge difference is there's way, and this is bad, I don't like this, there's way less black people at German Mardi Gras. You know what I mean? Like, Helen is a very homogenized white experience. As I said about Helen, Georgia, is basically like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, if Adolf Hitler was the mayor. That's just, you know, it's like super trashy, but also like, hey, we've got schnitzel, not just pancakes. You know what I mean?
All right. You ready for this? Shot for your life, Corey.
Okay.
Shot for your life. J.J. Redick or Larry Bird?
Oh, I got to go Larry Bird. But here's the deal. J.J. Redick, when I was a kid, was my hero. I love Duke basketball, but here's why.
Oh, boy.
Because my dad was a North Carolina fan and I wanted to go against him. That's the only reason.
Okay,
my dad
you was were lashing big, out. I get it. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's not going to like me doing this. He says that, but like he grew up in a house that had a name and like a carriage house and stuff or whatever. So like when I found out he was a Duke fan, I was like, yeah, well, what other team would
what
he
was your
like?
My dad
name?
Was a North Carolina fan. It's the Tom Lee House in Chickamauga, Georgia.
Yeah. It's like an old, like, pretty plantation-y, like, era.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Lovely house.
It's
been
super
in, like,
nice.
Been in, like, Better Homes and Gardens and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And ghost books. And I'm saying, like, he grew up in that house. So, like, of course he likes Duke. You know
again,
I mean?
My dad
house is
was
haunted?
In North Carolina. Oh, yes. Yeah, super haunted. Yes. I've been in several ghost books.
It's like four or five different ghosts.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Why did
hold on.
No,
I don't. I want Trey. You have met the ghost. You've seen these ghosts.
No, he's just told me all about him. One of the ghosts followed him to his new house from his old house.
Really?
So he's got like a pet Civil War ghost. Yeah,
When I was like 8 or 9 years old, I was going to sleep up in the attic of the house, and a blonde headed and I assume he was the drummer boy in the Civil War because he was too young to have been like he was so young he couldn't have even faked his way into being like, I'm 18, I want to shoot for my city, you know. And so he comes up in my room, blonde headed, wearing the Confederate uniform or whatever, and laid on my bed on top of me, and I couldn't hardly breathe. Then all my lights went out, all my lights came back on, and I was not dreaming. It happened like twice. We also had a ghost that used to pinch my mama's butt and turn our air conditioner down.
Wow.
Yeah. Not your classic opening cabinet doors, turning knobs.
No, he was a pervert.
Pervert, pinching the butt, yeah. Taking it up a notch.
Ghosts have a name.
I may be a ghost.
I don't know. Did the ghost have a name?
No, I mean, to me, he was just blonde haired boy. And I didn't, he never talked to me. He'd just like roll out. You know what I mean? Like, yo, what's up, dog?
Which the ghost that moved with you?
No, I don't believe that because I was told when I bought this house that I'm currently in, which I bought this house because it reminded me of my mom's house, that my buddy that had redone it told me, he's like, by the way, there's a ghost in this house. He's like, I'm just telling you there's a ghost. And like, there is, but he don't mess with me too bad. And I think it's because I got the ghost stink on me. Like, he knows I'm cool. You know what I mean? Like, I've been through it before. And he's like, oh, yeah, we homies, you know.
Can we summon him during this interview?
Maybe.
Get the ghost on the podcast. Let's go. Yeah.
States rights. States rights.
Oh, boy. Yeah, another Confederate?
I just assume every ghost here is a Confederate.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true. Yeah. Mm.
Is this one
how about the give us the city, guys, that you thought the food was going to be fantastic, got there a little bit overrated?
Oh, well, actually, I guess you wouldn't call it overrated, but I felt like England is super, super hit or miss. Like, England's got such a bad reputation for food. We had convinced ourselves, we're like, dude, that's got to be overblown, right? It's, you know, it's 2023. It's not like, there's no way that's true. And we got there, and after like a week, we're like, I mean, it's a little bit true. Like, I feel like it was, you know, some of it was amazing, but a lot of it too, you're like, this don't taste like nothing. Like, I need to learn about salt up in here.
Dude,
you know?
Just literally salt. Like, they would
it's like they're still getting rationed. Like, the bombs are still falling or something. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, let the salt out, you know. I don't know,
they literally just mash peas and put it on a plate, and they're like, "Isn't that something?" Oh, right, no salt, no pepper, just peas. It's very insane.
Not mashed peas, do you? Don't forget the vinegar. All right.
So I'll ask you. I'm just going to throw out three states here. You tell me like what's your go-to meal when you go to these states. Okay, let's start with Miami.
Oh, Miami, I got to get a Cuban sandwich. That's my jam. Go. I absolutely love it. Fell in love with Cuban sandwiches down there. My sister got to perform in the Orange Bowl when I was like in middle school or whatever. Like it was the Iowa USC game when homie ran the kickoff, like the first one back. But we stayed around and went to Miami, and I just like fell in love with Cuban sandwiches. I know that's cliche, but that's what I'm doing.
I dig it.
Trey.
Yeah. I love a Cubano too. Maybe some, plantains, some of that fancy rice y'all got down there, something like that, you know?
All right. And by, I said state, but I meant cities. Corey, what are you smoking there?
It's a vape. I know you're not sponsored by them, so I'm not going to show the brand, but it's a stupid vape. Yeah, I'm trying to quit that too, but I haven't had a real cigarette in like 6 years. But now I just became a dad and I got stressed for some reason. Well, I went back to vapes.
You see what I'm saying? You see how you can kind of tell he's a little bit ashamed of it? That's sort of what I meant earlier. Like, that's what I'm saying. When I meet somebody, it's like still an actual smoker. I'm like, good on you, man.
I wish I was hanging in there because
I feel the same way about it. I'm like, it's a vape.
Yeah.
Listen, if you ever get a chance to meet me, I am not ashamed. I will have five at once in my mouth. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, love it. I'm not trying to hide it from anyone except my kids. I mean, Corey, I thought you're smoking weed, to be honest with you.
I have to be professional on this show now. If me and you ever meet in real life, I will absolutely break my rule of no weed in front of people that I can't get too weird in front of, and I will smoke with you for sure.
Okay. Same question. What's your go-to place, go-to food when you go to New York City?
Oh, I'm a ramen guy. I mean, I hit them all up. I do bang bangs when I'm in New York. Like, if I go to lunch, I'm getting three different lunches. Maybe I'll have like a little tiny thing here. Cause that was my favorite thing about New York is like, it's 4 a.m. It's like you're in Epcot all the time, but it's really good. You know what I mean? So like, I would always go do ramen at one of those places. And it has to be one of those places where they put you in a little cubicle and you don't even see the waiter's face. Like, they shove you your ramen through a hole. You see nobody. I slurp that up. I go outside. I get me a $5 slice and a Coke and I walk it off. And then just farting the whole way, like feeling horrible. But like, ramen and pizza.
Yeah, pizza, of course. I love the halal trucks or carts or whatever you call them, like at 2 a.m. You know what I mean?
They're great.
Yeah, that's my jam. Because, like, of course, you come out of like a comedy club late at night or whatever, and there's a golden light shining down on it or something. Disappears miraculously. Also, like, the breakfast sandwiches, the bite with the bacon, egg, and
bacon,
cheese.
Egg, and cheeses,
those are great too when you're hungover and whatnot.
With that little cup of coffee that comes in that Greek cup, that Acropolis looking cup. Yeah, that's my jam.
Right. How about Hartford, Connecticut? Trey, go ahead.
I mean,
I had
pizza from some place I can't remember the name of, but it was really good. And I also had a side of meatballs and I ate the entirety of it, like a bowl of meatballs, you know, and it's like an aperitif before a full pizza in my hotel room after the show. So that's how I'm living out here. I don't know what else they even got in Hartford other than like Panera Bread or whatever.
I was going to say, if I'm in Connecticut, I'm just eating whatever the casino has there because that's the only way I'm going to have fun.
Whatever Foxwoods is serving.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, last one. We'll go to Trey first, Las Vegas.
Oh, I know. There's a place in Las Vegas. One of my favorite restaurants in the country is actually in Las Vegas. It's off the strip. We got a chef buddy there. There's a chef in Las Vegas, and he took us there first and said, this is where all the restaurant people, all the chefs and restaurant people in Vegas, this is where they go, like when the shift, because it's open really late. It's called Herbs and Rye, and they have they have a late night meat happy hour. So like they got a happy hour for like rib, so you can go there at like 1 a.m. and get a ribeye half off and stuff like that. And it's real old school and dimly lit, and you get these big thick ass steaks, you know, after midnight and whatnot, and it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's like a easily top five, top three restaurant in the country for me is that place in Vegas. So that's what that's my answer.
I can't beat that one, except to say, like, I mean, Vegas is like, I don't know if people think about Vegas as the food city, but like, that's the first thing I think of. Like, I don't drink as much as I used to, and I'm only like a casual gambler, but like Vegas, we ate at Wolfgang Puck's once, and in my mind, I was like, oh, this is about to be super corporate and terrible because it's like the, you know, the name brand, whatever. Dude, it was fire. Like every meal I've ever had in Vegas is fire, but nothing, and I mean nothing, beats Herbs and Rye. It is phenomenal.
How about Tuscaloosa?
I can't do Tuscaloosa, but I can do Hoover, which is also in central Alabama. I do the Star Dome and that's outside of Birmingham in Hoover, Alabama every year. And the Oxtails, Jake's Caribbean Soul Food joint in Hoover, Alabama. It's on the list of like when I go to that region, I don't leave without eating that, you know, Oxtails from Jake's.
Yes.
I love the white Alabama barbecue sauce too. It's always been funny to me that Alabama is like barbecue sauce is pretty cool. It'd be better if it was white though. But it is but you know, it's good.
I was gonna say same answer because those oxtails are amazing. But yeah, when I'm in, it's like if I'm at home, I never want the Alabama white sauce because I'm like, oh, that's a bit too much. I'm more of a vinegar guy. But like, you know, when in Rome, I'm like, just slather it with mayonnaise. Like they got a lot of great, like the soul food in Alabama is unbelievable. Do not sleep on it.
The next book you write, you should parlay it into a trip to Rome. Just, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
You spitting, buddy.
Yeah, Rome, France, like do the whole, just do food and take Stugotz with us. France. I'm certain that skip France. I'm certain Dead and Company will play over there. You can come along with us. Mm. We'll somehow get HarperCollins to pay for it because I know that that's what you're into. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. Yes. Amsterdam. Make sure that's a stop as well. Okay? Yeah. Trey Crowder, Corey Ryan Forrester, Around Here and Over Yonder, a front porch travel guide. You guys are awesome, man. I appreciate it. Good luck with the book. We'll continue to promote it. Talk to me, man. What do you want to do, Corey? What do you want to do moving forward? You want to be a God Bless Football correspondent? What is it you're angling for? I'm proud of you.
I am angling for a job. Now, I know that you often, you know, offer people correspondent jobs and then you never hear from them again. I was very prepared for that, which is fine. It's fine. It's fine. I just want to be considered. I would absolutely love to be called in on God Bless Football as perhaps the SEC correspondent. Wow. I am a big Georgia Bulldogs fan. We are going to three-peat this year. And also, if you get God Bless Golf running, you have no idea how much work that I will do for virtually free. I only want like a Meadowlark zipper vest. You can send me one of those. You know what I mean? Ooh. A duffel bag, some PBS stuff. I'm all
in line.
Yeah. me and Mike sure could do something together. You know what I mean? I find myself listing 90s baseball players at night. I think that I could add something to that. So just whatever you guys want, just know that no one will work as hard for you for free.
Wow. Hmm. I mean, I love that. Trey, you want nothing to do with any of this? Or
I mean, you know, whatever. If you guys got something that isn't too labor intensive or whatever, then I could maybe be talked into it, I guess. But yeah, just give Corey a shot.
All right. Maybe if we have a guest on from a particular city, we'll have you guys on to break down the food and that city for him. Okay.
Please. We'll love it.
Something like that. We'll try to figure it out. But I want both of you on the way out here, promote your travel guide, promote the book. Tell us about it. Sell the audience on why they should buy this thing.
Trey. No, I was going to say you do it.
All right, listen.
Bar pretty high there. You're on fire already.
Round,
want Mojo to do it for you? I mean,
that would be wonderful. If we can get Mojo in here or a Gronkowski, whichever one, doesn't matter. Round here and over yonder, it is a front porch travel guide written by two hillbilly dum-dums. It's wonderful. If you want to see the world through our eyes, through our front porch, as it was, we love to tackle what people think about a place versus what the reality of it is. The thing that we learned throughout this book and throughout our travels is not so much how we're all different. It's how much we all are so similar. The book is also laugh out loud hilarious, which if you don't know anything about prose, that's hard to do. And we nailed it. So you should buy it. And Roy Wood Jr. wrote a thing on the back of it. So if you like him on this show, he digs the book too.
Leslie Jones too. Yeah, that's the only thing I was going to add is like, how often do you ever read written prose in just a regular ass book and, you know, actually laugh out loud? Pretty rare. Well, you'll laugh out loud multiple times throughout this one. So if you're into that, check it out. Also, side plug here, you go to treycrowder.com and you can pre-order the book, but also check out my tour dates. So I slipped that one in there on you guys.
Holy
coming
shit,
to me
Trey,
live.
You would fit right into God Bless Football. Anything else you want to promote, Corey?
You work for somebody else?
Yeah. I totally forgot that it's Plug City up in this bitch. Yeah, go to parttimefunnyman.com. That is my newsletter where I release my dates, but I also write essays. I do bonus podcasts and stuff. That's parttimefunnyman.com. Parttimefunnyman.com because right now I'm sort of a full-time dad. New daddy's 4 months old. Oh, check me out over there. It's $5 to subscribe, but if you can't afford that, you can also just have it for free because I'm a terrible businessman.
All right. You and Billy, both new dads. Congratulations to both of you. Billy is not enjoying any of it.
You know.
All right. You guys are great. Round here and over yonder, a front porch travel guide. Check it out. Guys, thank you so much. This was great. We really enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you, Stu. Billy, Mikey A. Y'all are the best, man.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Stu, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.